Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are on, right? Correct? Good evening, and welcome to the February 3rd City Council meeting for the city of Grover Beach. So we will do, if you would, please join me in standing for a moment of silence for the men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our country. For that moment of silence. So if you would now, I'd like to call forward Lily Meek, who's going to lead us in our flag salute this evening. Lily is 10 years old and in the fifth grade at Fairgrove Elementary School. Lily tells us that the subjects she likes in school are math, art, and writing. So she enjoys being a member of the robotics team and the Battle of the Books. Those are great things to be interested in. What she likes most about living in Grover Beach is being able to go to the beach often and that the weather is so wonderful. In high school, Lily would like to be in FFA, and when she grows up, she'd like to be a veterinarian. Nice. So outside of school, Lily enjoys playing basketball and softball. And tonight, Lily is accompanied by her mother, Melissa. Oh, hi. Come forward, take pictures. So Lily, if you would please.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Come on. And next we'll move into our roll call. So, Mrs. Sims, City Clerk, if you would please.
Councilmember Lance.
Here.
Councilmember Nichols.
Here.
Councilmember Shaw.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Here.
And Mayor Lee.
I'm here as well, so we have a quorum and we will proceed. So next we'll go into our closed session announcements, which I see none this evening. So that'll take us into our agenda review. So where at this time the council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day. So I know we do have more of a confirmation or a clarification on item six, which is under the regular business item, where staff is recommending a continuance of this item to currently a date uncertain. So I wanted to turn it over to the city manager for just a little explanation on that, if you would, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Just very briefly, staff is recommending a continuance of agenda item number six on North Oak Park, given the active, ongoing investigation into the pedestrian fatality on January 21st. The timing of the investigation is not certain at this time, given the nature of the accident and the due diligence required in this type of investigation. Staff is committed to bringing this agenda item to the council promptly following the completion of the investigation, and we will let residents know when this date is scheduled.
Very good, and I appreciate that update. And I do have a number of speaker slips, which I will give everyone the opportunity to speak under public comment on that item as well. So after that item description by the city manager, is there anyone who has any questions on the order of the day?
Can I just ask one, please? City manager, are you able to just give brief time frame? I know it depends on how the investigation goes, but can we have not necessarily a date certain, but just an idea of potentially when this could come back? Is that something that could be discussed?
While I hesitate about identifying a potential date certain because of the nature of this investigation. We are working diligently, working with our partner agencies on the investigation. We're aiming to try to have information completed over the next 60 or so days. However, this is still an active, fluid investigation, and that time frame may be longer, depending on what comes forward as part of the investigation. Hence why staff is recommending at this time that we have this be to a date uncertain, with the understanding and commitment that we will bring this forward promptly to the council once the investigation was complete and any information from that can be gleaned as part of the item going forward.
Thank you.
And if I may just add briefly, and City Attorney, let me know if I'll turn it over to you in just a second, is in my conversation with the City Manager when he indicated staff was going to be bringing forward this recommendation, one of the concerns was if we set a date certain that in the investigation was still ongoing, that we would be continuing it for another unknown length of time. So I think that was a consideration by the staff and the city attorney as well. So I think that may be a part of the consideration. But with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Hale, see if there's anything that he wanted to add to that.
Yeah, just one of the uncertainties about this investigation. It's a multi-agency investigation. There are a number of reports that are being done by other agencies. So we don't have control over that, and we do have to wait for that to come back before we have a full and complete package.
Okay. Any other questions or comments on that?
I mean, although I hate to continue something that's so important, I think that it makes sense to have all the information we need in order to make thoughtful decisions. So it makes sense to me.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? So if not, I'll go ahead and accept a recommendation that we proceed with the agenda.
I'll make that motion that we proceed with the agenda with the continuance to a date uncertain of item 6.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We will proceed as published. So very good on, which means we'll move into our ceremonial calendar, where we have two items this evening, one of which is an introduction of the 2019 Grover Beach Citizen of the Year, Mr. Tom Rader. So this is where we get to say thank you to Tom and also to his family, Amy and Michaela.
Markella,
I apologize. So Markella looks very comfortable there in the front row. So Tom, I just want to have you come forward if you would for a moment. And I do have a mayor's commendation, but the city did also recognize you at the Chamber of Commerce event a couple weeks ago, and we did have a proclamation there. But we want to say thank you for your business acumen, your ability to do amazing things with Mongo's and Three Fat Guys and just everything that goes on at that corner, and then also your work and your volunteerism with Grover Beach United and so many other good events that you do for the city. And I want to say thank you to Amy and to Markenna as well for the inspiration that they've brought to your life and the ability that you have to be part of Grover Beach. So I just want to say thank you and see if you wanted to say a couple words.
So I was just say thank you on behalf of our family. And it's a pleasure to be part of the community. And it was a shock, or I wasn't expecting this recognition. But it does warm my heart. And I look forward to having a great year this year and a great car show on Labor Day weekend. Thank you very much.
And actually, before you leave, so I would like you to share. It was something that I learned the fact of that you are a long-standing trivia answer.
Oh,
for
yes, the brief one. I was I grew up in Orchid, went to school at St. Joe's. I was got a full ride to University of Notre Dame. And then it was a third-round draft pick to New England Patriots. I was there for 2 years. And then went to the New York Giants. And I was lucky enough to be on that team when they won Super Bowl 25. Here's the ring. So and then after that, I went over to the World League. And for a period of time, I was the only person on the face of the earth that had a World Bowl ring and a Super Bowl ring. So I was, because I was an older guy at the World Bowl. I had a Super Bowl ring first. Some of the players that were in that league, then went on to get a Super Bowl ring later. So,
but you did it the other way around. So you did the Super Bowl first and then the World Bowl.
I was the first. Nice. Well,
congratulations and thank you.
Fun facts.
Very good.
Thank you.
Still picture.
I mean, if we stay up here, he's just going to... And if we get out of the meeting early enough tonight, we can go to the oyster bar that's at Free Fat Guys as well, so because they do have oysters there as well. So with that, I will go ahead and move into our second ceremonial calendar, unless there's anyone that wants to say anything on our first one. So we do have an introduction of Community Development and Administrative Services new employees. Mr. City Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We always enjoy the chance to introduce new city employees to the council and the public, employees who are serving our community every day. I'm delighted to introduce two newcomers to our organization. The first is our code compliance officer, Rick Strickland. If you can come up here, Mr. Strickland. He was born and raised in New York and worked as a community service officer in San Bernardino. He moved here to the Central Coast in 1996 and worked with us actually in police dispatch for 5 years before heading out to the DA's office last year, but coming back to us. He wanted to come back to Grover Beach, and this opportunity popped up, and it was a good fit for his background skills, and we're delighted to have him joining us in this position. Rick does reside here in Grover Beach with his family, so he is right up the road from where we are. So we're delighted to have him join us. Mr. Strickland, any comments or thoughts?
Just happy to be back and working for Grover. If it wasn't for shift work, I probably wouldn't have left dispatch. But this is a great fit. Happy to be back.
Great. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to introduce Administrative Assistant Emily Lloyd in our Administrative Services Department. Emily grew up in Grover Beach and is a recent graduate of San Francisco State University. She has years of experience in customer service and cashiering and also interned with the California State Assembly while in college. Emily is the first person to greet our customers at the front counter, so playing a very important role at our front counter, front lobby area. Ms. Lloyd also is responsible for handling cash receipts and taking utility billing payments at the front counter and handling telephone calls. So she really is in a key role interfacing with our community and the public and is doing a great job in her capacity with us. Emily also resides in Grover Beach with her family. So she, again, is also right down the road from us. So Ms. Lloyd, would you like to say a few words or make any comments?
I just want to say I'm really excited to be working in my hometown. I love it here. Like you said, I went to college in San Francisco, and I did come back because it's expensive there. It's expensive here, too, but you get what you pay for. It's wonderful, and everyone in the office has been really accommodating and awesome, and I absolutely love it here. So thank you.
Thank you very much for those introductions, and we look forward to long and prosperous careers for both of you. So that'll take us next into our public communications, where we will have up to 3 minutes for any member of the public who wants to address the council on any topic of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. But please note that we will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items that are not on the agenda this evening. So I do have a number of speaker slips, and we'll start first with, looks like, Heather Hansen, followed by Richard Spiller, I think it is.
Hi, how are you? Never done this, how fun. Never needed a microphone either. My voice usually carries far enough. Thank you guys so much for allowing us this opportunity. I wanted to speak to you regarding the ever-popular conversation of 6 and North Oak Park Boulevard traffic safety issues. My husband and I just bought a house here in June. Our house is across the street from where the fatality happened, and that was obviously traumatizing to go through. Our house is also across the street where the accident happened earlier at the end of last week, which was exactly 1 week after the fatality. We find quite a bit of frustration in the fact that I understand there's ongoing investigations that have to happen and certain measures that have to be taken. I don't see any issues with putting in simple things like streetlights across the street to light up what is a very busy road that we can all agree on. I don't understand why putting in a lit up crosswalk at an area that we already accept that pedestrians will walk towards is something that needs to wait for an investigation. I understand there are larger measures with four-way stop signs and things that have to be taken into account with the 15,000 plus cars that drive on that road on every day. But there are families that are there. There are communities that suffer from this. There are people whose lives are lost because of this. We are new to the neighborhood and are happy to be here. And I just want to make sure that the safety and the wellness of all of the people in the community are really taken into account. And to be honest, seeing it on here as that you're recommending to basically talk about this at another time, while I understand there's logistics, seems like it's being pushed off again, as it has been for many other times that it was supposed to be on the agenda and talked about. And who knows if this would have been spoken about before the death, if there could have been something done or there could have been something in the works. And it's frustrating as somebody who's only 30 years old, who's already seeing these things and what our city can do for us, that I think we can all be doing better and do better for our community and for the people. And I really feel that if we were to even address small issues like lighting and a lit up crosswalk, who knows what that could do for people in the future. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. So you did very well.
Thanks.
Next we have up Richard Spiller, followed by Linda Busick.
I was unaware of the fatality. Nothing I can say will compare to that, so I really don't have anything to say. Just my condolences for the people that suffer their loss. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. So next up we have Linda Busick, followed by Les Henderson.
Good evening, city councilors and staff. My name is Linda Busick, and I'm here tonight to give you a brief update on the January 12th Five Cities Repair Cafe held at the Grover Beach Community Center. We had a great turnout, and the community center space was nearly ideal. It allowed us to expand our numbers of workstations and also to have dry and warm inside space for everyone. Some of you were able to attend and check out the event. We appreciated your support. Neighbors began lining up at noon, and we opened promptly at 1 p.m. after lunch was served to the 55 volunteers. Soon as lunch finished, a team comprised of two Boy Scout troops helped reconfigure the space into the workstation setups. Girl Scout Troop 414 relieved the boys mid-afternoon and managed the cleanup and takedown detail at 5 p.m. We are gratified that the Repair Cafe concept has caught on so quickly. We estimate we had an attendance of nearly 200. Neighbors turned in 166 tickets for repair. We had actually printed 130 and had to rush out and print more. Our categories of repair were general, jewelry, PCs and printers, bikes, sewing and mending, small appliances, tool sharpening, and repair. Our success rate was 62% fully fixed and 20% partially fixed. Not everyone who came with an item, however, had the chance to see a fixer that Sunday afternoon because we ran out of time. But we did see, diagnose, and fix a lot of stuff, keeping it out of the landfill. In the partially fixed category, we often sent folks home on their way with information to purchase the needed spare parts and finish the repair at home. Integrated Waste Management Authority had a table and distributed recycling information as well as free green waste containers. iFixit sent two repair teams and a photographer to the event. There was a lot of good energy that afternoon. KSBY videotaped the activities, and you can watch their coverage on our Facebook page. A musician who had her tablet fixed at the October event sang and played guitar. There is a balloon guy and tables with games and puzzles that entertain folks while they were awaiting their time with a fixer. Neighbors brought fruit, veg, flowers, books, and more to the Abundance to Share table. April 26th is our next quarterly Five Cities Repair Cafe. Same time, same place. We already are aware that some of our volunteers will be traveling and won't be available. We would sure welcome three more small appliance repair and or general fixers to fill out our roster. And we just learned that the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts will be at a camperee in Ventura that weekend. If you know some youth you're looking for community service hours who might like to join our team, please have them get in touch. Thank you and hope to see you on April 26th.
Thank you, Linda. Appreciate those comments. So next up, we have Les Henderson, followed by Susie Reed.
Good evening, City Council. My name is Les Henderson. I live at the corner of Oak Park in Brighton. I'm here to speak tonight about the public safety crisis that we have at the corner of Oak Park in Brighton. Since the last council meeting, which was on the 21st, there have been three additional accidents at that intersection. Two involving rear-end collisions, and one involving a fatality. But I'm here tonight to talk about the young man that lost his life crossing the street of Grover Beach City at the corner of Oak Park and Brighton. I'm here to show you and explain to you what a life is all about. I did see the video of this man losing his life. It wasn't pleasant. I didn't sleep for two nights. Basically, what this gentleman did, he was crossing at the corner on the Grover Beach side of the Ocean Side onto the other side of the street, which is where the churches are. And he did cross the street successfully until he got to the last lane. And he looked to his right, and there was only two cars coming from Grand up to Saratoga. Two cars. No cars in the slow lane next to the curb, which is where he was at. He got 10 feet away from my mailbox or the curb. He looked to his left about 10 degrees because there was no cars coming. And he was struck. He was hit so hard that it left his two shoes right by the mailbox and his hat. The impact was so hard that it knocked him 6 to 7 feet in the air and approximately the length of 2.5 houses. That's approximately 100 feet. I did have a chance to talk to two CHP officers that I have known for years. Both of them are retired. I explained the situation to them. Both of them said there's no question that the man was speeding, that hit the pedestrian. One CHP officer said, I'll refer to the chief over here, that this man had to be going between 50 and 60 miles an hour. So I say to you that I'm going to wrap this up, but I'd like to do one thing to you, if you could give me just a second. The last thing this man did before he lost his life was this, and I would like to do it for you, in his behalf. And that he died.
Next, we have Susan Reed, followed by Mildreen Kirby.
Good evening. 2 weeks ago, a young man died in front of my house. He was killed by a combination of speed and stupid. Although you can do nothing to address stupid, you do have the power and the obligation to address the speed on North Oak Park. For the last several years, we've been alerting you, informing you, begging you to do something to calm the traffic on this road. To date, we have nothing to show for our efforts. Regardless of what your studies and statistics determine, we're here to tell you that we live with the situation on a daily basis, and it continues to deteriorate. There's one logical solution that is easy, quick, and cost-effective, and that's a four-way stop at Oak Park in Brighton. This would put all drivers on an even playing field and force everyone to reduce their speed, either going up or coming down the hill. It would also reduce the danger on Brighton from cars trying to make a left off Oak Park and cutting the corners to beat the oncoming traffic. The installation of a four-way should not be delayed by nor dependent upon the completion of the current accident investigation. If you want to paint the curbs red, have at it. The idea of red curbs is fine, and any improvement to the line of sight issues is welcome, but it does not resolve the basic problem of speed. Painting crosswalks at the intersection without a four-way stop would be creating a false sense of security for pedestrians and tantamount to painting a target on the back of anyone attempting to cross. As a neighborhood, as a community, we urge you to take immediate action to protect the public from this most dangerous and deadly intersection. 2 weeks ago, a young man died in front of my house. He was the father of two, and his name was Justin.
Thank you for those comments. Next up, we have Mildreen Kirby, followed by Krista Jeffries.
My name is Mildreen Kirby, and I live one house off of Oak Park in Brighton. And we have asked before to try to do something to calm. And as Susie said, having a four-way stop there would help as far as the speed that people are coming off of Oak Park as well as going up and down it. And also the need for crosswalks if we can have the four-way stops. And I'd just like you to have that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments. So next up is Krista Jeffries, and this is my last speaker slip. So if there's anyone else who does want to speak under public communications this evening, please fill out a blue speaker slip and go ahead and give it either to the chief or to the city manager. So Ms. Jeffries.
Good evening, council members. My family and I are pedestrians. We're bikers. We're walkers. We try to be active people, and we try to connect with our community by getting around in a way that isn't cars as frequently as we can. And in light of the events, tragedies on our streets lately, I wanted to provide some concrete ideas to address how unsafe it feels to be a family with young kids walking around in Grover Beach. The first one I wanted to suggest is getting rid of right on red on Grand Avenue, particularly at Oak Park and Grand. When I come up to the corner, cars are not looking for people. They are looking to the left for cars that are in the travel lane. They're not looking for people who are on the corners and are getting ready to cross in the crosswalk. The stop bar for intersections is usually the crosswalk. There isn't a gap between where the car is supposed to stop and where people are supposed to walk, and that makes people in an uncomfortable place. So I would like to see more visual aids that tell cars to stop further back from the crosswalk, in addition to repainting crosswalks, making them colorful and eye-catching. I think on a very practical, immediate issue, I'd like to see some sort of curb bulb out, either at Ramona or Brighton and Oak Park, and that would go into the parking lane. So it wouldn't remove travel space, but it would provide a visual cue that it makes the road look narrower. In addition to a lighted crosswalk and a painted crosswalk in that area, I know that there's a hesitation to encourage foot traffic crossing at that intersection, but I think that battle is lost, and I think the better thing to do would be to recognize that people are going to cross there because it's not at the top of the hill, and they don't want to use Oak Park and Grand because there's a right on red and people aren't looking for people. Like, that intersection doesn't feel like a safe one to cross at. As far as when I'm a driver, I do not like pulling into the crosswalk or the sidewalk space when I can't I have to do it in order to see, and there's too much parking that comes right up to the driveway, so I would really like to see red painted curbs at pretty much all intersections. Anywhere that you have to cross into the pedestrian space in order to have a clear line of sight before you pull into the road, I think those are practical, relatively simple things to make it safer for drivers and pedestrians. And on something that's not a personal experience, but I did do a little bit of Googling today, and I found a study in Minnesota that had horizontal rumble strips that would slow down people at four-way intersections on rural roads in Minnesota. And it, if you went too fast, it would make you uncomfortable just the way a rumble strip does when you're on a freeway. When you get too far off to the side, you doze off at the wheel or anything. But these were horizontal, and they went, you know, 5 or 6 feet in the road instead of just in a line that way. Does that make sense? And I think that's a practical tool to look at for Oak Park because it is too fast. A lot of our roads are too fast, but especially that one. Thank you.
Thank you for those comments as well. So next speaker slip is Debbie Guerrero.
Hi, I'm Debbie. I've been here for 38 years, and it's changing. It's big. We're growing, and that's good. But at the same time, things are changing. And one of the things is what can we do to these changes? And it is hard. And the first thing I'd like to say is my heart goes out to the families and the members of the tragedies that are happening there. But at the same time, people have to take responsibility for what they're doing. You guys did lower the speed limit to 30. Well, it's showing now it's not working. And so there is something needs to be more. But at the same time, people need to take responsibility for what they're doing. We cannot control people. If they decide they want to go 50, they want to go decide they're going to go 60, we can't just say, okay, don't, because our sign says 30. And so somewhere along the line, there has to be a responsibility on the people in which their actions are for.
Thank you for those comments. So I didn't get any other speaker slips, but is there anyone else that wants to speak? Come forward and go ahead and give your speaker slip to the city manager, please, or the police chief.
Hi. I'm sorry I'm late.
The podium is yours.
Okay. I'm not really sure what I'm supposed to be saying, but I have a friend who was hit by a car not too long, well, about a year and a half ago. And she suffered a lot of, injury from it and whatnot. But I just wanted to, like, kind of bring a point, too, that, you know, the person who hit her, that they were identified, they were able to, they know who it is, and, like, no repercussions at all. He didn't get a citation, I mean, nothing. So I just wanted, like, the importance, you know, of law enforcement also backing up, you know, incidents like this without just throwing disregard. Oh. I'm not
sure. It was in Grover, right?
Yeah,
it
was.
Yeah,
I was going to ask, was this in Grover Beach?
Yeah, it was on Grand and 10th Street.
Okay.
Is that it? I guess. Yeah.
Thanks. Thank you for those comments. So if you would, if you could give your name and information to the city manager. So, and then, did you have a quick question?
I just was going to ask your name.
Okay. My name is Caitlin Stebbins.
Caitlin
Stebbins.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Is there anyone else that wants to speak under public communications this evening? Seeing no one else come forward, we'll go ahead and close public communications, bring it back. And then just wanted to see if the city manager or the city attorney wanted to, if there's anything that we needed to add to our public communications discussion. Very good. If once we get Ms. Stateland's information, if we could have either you or the chief follow up on that, just to kind of close the loop on her comments, please. And then for those that did speak upon North Oak Park and Brighton, obviously we did indicate that we will be continuing this item, but as the city manager said, and I'm sure I can speak on behalf of the council, we want to address safety, potential safety concerns along North Oak Park as timely and expeditiously as possible as well. So as soon as the investigations are determined to be to be in a situation to where we can have those conversations, we will be coming back, and we will make sure that we update this item on a recurring basis at the council, so that you know as you're watching along. If we have an opportunity to identify a date before it comes out as part of the agenda, we'll do that as well. So, is there anything else that anyone wanted to express? Very good. Thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. I know this it's a sensitive topic, and we do appreciate you providing your input. So, and we'll look forward to you continuing to provide that input for us. So next, that does take us to our consent agenda, so where we do have three items this evening. So is there anybody who has any questions on the consent agenda?
I think it might be good to possibly just pull item four for just, I think, more explanation to the community, because in my mind it is building up our police department, and that is the number one thing we can do to enforce our laws and to enforce our traffic laws. So I think it's great, would be great for the community to hear more about item number four.
Okay. Very good. So we'll go ahead and pull that for just a quick discussion and presentation by our police chief. Is there any other questions of staff on the remaining two items on the consent calendar?
None.
Okay. Very good. I do just have one item, and it's more of a confirmation in the resolution for the CDBG block grant. I did talk to the city manager earlier, just more of a grammatical, making sure that the numbers match where they're supposed to match. I think there was one area where there was a $3.5 million versus a $3 million, and I just want to make sure that it's consistent, and maybe I'm misreading it, so on the resolution for that. So if there's no other questions on that, I'll go ahead and open this up to the public, see if there's any member of the public that wants to speak on numbers three or five this evening, and we'll let anyone speak on item number four after we have a quick presentation. So anyone that wants to speak on items three or five? Seeing no one come forward, we'll go ahead and close that to the public, bring it back for consideration by the council.
I'll make a motion that we accept items number three and five as written.
Second.
Very good. I think we had a motion by Councilmember Shaw and a second by Mayor Pro Tem Bright. So she was the louder second.
That's fine.
With that, we'll do a roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. So that takes us to item number four, which we'll go ahead and take right now for questions or just a brief presentation by the police chief. Mr. Peters, Police Chief Peters.
If you would. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council and community. I bring this item forward for your consideration and approval in reference to the compensation adjustment for the police officer rank of the police department. As you know, as the community has asked for and as the council goals have been set, that public safety is a top priority for both the community and the council. And in that priority, our goal is to try to maintain staffing of the police department at full staff. The last few years, it's been very difficult to do that, and currently we are four positions vacant. The recruitment process has been very difficult, as we learned even when we were recruiting for a sergeant at the end of 2019. The compensation schedule was just not very competitive, and we didn't get as many applicants as we had wished. So in what staff has been able to find is a very similar pattern in reference to the police officer compensation. It is the lowest paid in the county. It is not competitive, and just last week I had a lateral applicant who was looking at our agency actually withdraw from the process because it was not competitive enough for them. So unfortunately, that brings us to this point today where we're asking for an adjustment in the compensation for police officers to help bring them up to the average of the county. I'm not asking for anything above the average or at the top of the pay scale or anything like that, just to bring them up to the average so it gets us a lot more competitive than what we are right now, because we are finding it difficult to fill vacancies when they are at the bottom of the pay scale for the entire county. The cost of that for the remainder of this fiscal year would actually be absorbed in the current police department budget. There is salary savings, and the cost is just slightly over $16,000 for the remainder of this fiscal year. The cost going forward into next year would be about $69,000. I can tell you that, unfortunately, I don't predict that all four vacancies will be filled between now and the end of this fiscal year. So that may mean that some of those costs could be absorbed in the future salary savings, but otherwise it would be a budgeted item that we would move forward with staff and eventually present to you on the next fiscal budget. So.
Thank you for that presentation. City Manager, did you have something to add?
Just briefly, this is an atypical item that we would bring to you in this manner. Typically, this degree of a compensation increase comes through a negotiated MOU process. That's our standard practice. But as the Chief indicated, the recruitment and retention challenges we face merit this recommendation from staff's perspective. We do have funding this year to absorb this. We believe we're in a funding position next year to accommodate this. And if we're looking at bolstering our police officer ranks to the level that I believe the council and community is looking for, this is a necessary building block to make sure our compensation package is competitive with other agencies, and then being able to be a prelude for future discussions around additional positions that we would like to see.
Very good. So with that, I'll turn it over to Councilmember Shaw and see if she had any questions first.
No, I didn't have questions. I had comments, but I don't know. We want to go to the public first.
Yeah.
Okay. No questions.
Okay. Councilmember Lance.
No questions.
Councilmember Nichols.
No questions, just comments.
Okay, very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
I did have a question, actually. I know that us getting our officers parity along with other cities has always been an issue. So I'm happy to see that we've at least gotten here. I'm wondering two questions. One, how does this affect the recruits that we had that we'd sent to the post-training?
Well, currently those recruits, we have one that's in the academy right now. Mm-hmm. One, unfortunately, has already withdrew from the academy.
Okay.
So they are on a whole separate pay scale. Okay. So they have their own position, and they will continue on that pay scale.
So that's not that one isn't an issue. Okay,
correct.
Thank you. And then, so we're in the agenda item, we're just addressing, you had addressed the top tier. How is this going to affect the ABC, all the other tiers? Will we still be competitive with those tiers as well?
Yes, what basically will happen is that the 5% will be added to each step throughout mm-hmm. the salary schedule. So the bottom step that you see right now that is current, that basically will go away, and step B will become the new A step. So it just kind of moves everything up
right.
one notch.
So will we still, though, be competitive at that level as well?
Yes, this will make us much more competitive.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Very good, and I didn't have any questions either, so we'll go ahead and open this up to the public, see if there's any members of the public that want to speak on this item. Seeing no one come forward, I'll go ahead and close it to the public, bring it back for comments, and say thank you to the Chief for that discussion and response to questions. So we'll start with comments to my right. Councilmember Nichols.
Okay. I think this will be a very important step forward in the safety of our community. And we can't keep risking people's lives and by underpaying our police departments and our fire departments.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Well, I think I already said this has been a real challenge for our city to keep our police and our fire departments at a pay scale that is competitive with the other cities in our county. So it's something that we have to, I think we just don't have a choice. If we want to keep our safety personnel with us and attract others, we just don't have a choice. It's something we just must do. So I certainly can support this.
Councilmember Lance.
No comments other than I support it.
Okay, and then we'll end with Councilmember Shaw.
Yeah, I'm just really actually very happy to see this come forward. I think it's been a long time coming. I've been here 6 years now, and almost that whole time we haven't been at a full force. And that is just hard. As someone in our family, my husband does shift work, and it wears not just on the employee but also the family when you're understaffed. And it's really hard to keep good people. And I think we have people coming forward. You know, we have to make our streets and our roads safe, but the number one line of defense would be more speed enforcement and more traffic enforcement. And I don't know if we've even been able to have the motorcycle patrol since I've been here, but that used to really help with speed and traffic. And for a very brief period, we were able to have bike patrol, which was really helpful in other areas. So in order to get, we just need to get back to full staffing and then even get beyond that if we want to have the safety that we need to have here. And it's not fair to rely on just the loyal people who have stuck here, even when they know they could go elsewhere and get paid more. I mean, people will only be able to do that for so long, and you just get burnt out. So I applaud the police department for bringing this to us, and I'm really happy to support it.
Very good, and I'll echo the comments of my colleagues in that I will be supporting this as well tonight, and encouraging both the police chief and the city manager as we go through our goal setting and our budget preparation to look at ways beyond compensation that might be beneficial for the police force, because as Councilmember Shaw mentioned, it is a matter of impacts to the families as well as to the officers there is some fatigue and burnout, and there's a lot of training, and there's a lot of time away from home that officers do, and we appreciate everything that they do. We just want to provide them with as many tools and all the tools that we can to provide the safety to the community. So with that, I'll look forward to someone making a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve agenda item number 4 as written.
I'll second.
We'll go ahead with a second by Councilmember Lance. So, any other questions or comments? Roll call, please.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Mayor Lee.
Yes. So that does conclude our consent agenda. So we that'll take us to item number 6, which we did continue from earlier in the evening. So that'll take us into agenda item number 7. And a balky computer is not letting me go where it needs me to go. So if you'll bear with me just 10 seconds to get to item number 7, which is a water infrastructure financing preliminary placement bank approval item. So city manager, did you want to kick this one off?
Yes, sir. I am delighted to bring forward to you an item related to our water infrastructure financing. As we pull up the presentation in City Clerk, we'll get that ready to go. Just for background, the council in November provided direction to staff to proceed with a $4.5 million water revenue bond to begin addressing our water master plan that the council approved back in August. We are delighted to have our financial consultants, Albert Boucher from Albert Boucher & Associates, and Renee Vancho from Piper Sandler, here to share the good news about how we fared with this competitive process and what's before the council this evening.
Thank you, City Manager Bronson. It was very good news indeed. And good evening, Mayor Lee, members of the council. I just wanted to give you a quick background on how we got here, 30 seconds. We actually started this process about 9 months ago in May. And what we did was we looked at different methods of financing for the city. Back on August 19th, the city adopted the Water Master Plan that identified $11.8 million in capital needs. There were other funding sources for some of that, but there was a hole of about $4.3 million that needed to be funded through a water revenue bond. So we identified a private placement as well. We studied that along with a public offering of bonds to investors, and what we came back with, we thought that a private placement would be ideal for the city. So when I was here last November, resolution of intent was passed by the council, hiring the firms, my firm, Shea & Associates, Piper Sandler, by the way, formerly Piper Jaffray. They just changed their name this month. And then QTAC Rock is bond counsel. Basically, you hired us on a contingent basis to go out and select bids. So on January the 6th, the term sheet with information on the city went out to a number of banks. The term sheet went out to actually 48 banks, including two local banks, Community West Bank and Community Bank of Santa Maria. The term sheet had a lot of helpful information on the city, what we were looking, what kind of bids we wanted, and when the bids were due. Information on the water enterprise, as well as some of the projections that we did to prepare for the financing. Staff actually was very helpful in assisting with a bunch of questions from 11 banks over a two-week period. And on Wednesday, January 22nd, seven banks actually submitted bids. Piper calculated the bids to compare interest rates, call features, additional costs, and other provisions. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to Renee Bancho from Piper. And
good evening. My name is Renee Bancho. I'm with Piper Sandler now. It's a pleasure to meet you all. So on page four, we broke down the bids, and we ended up looking at the top three. And by top three, I mean those were the ones that came in with the lowest interest rate. BBVA was the lowest, and then it was Sterling National Bank, followed by City National. On the day that the term sheets were due, the bid provided by BBVA was at 257, and Sterling was 276, and City National was 286. But BBVA was actually changing daily. It was indexed to the LIBOR 10-year swap rate. So that one we knew would fluctuate until we got assigned term sheet. So there is a little bit of risk associated with that one. The other two, those were the locked-in bids. They also provided, BBVA provided, if we wanted a 30-day rate lock or a longer 60-day rate lock. What we ended up doing is we waited until the following Monday to lock in a 30-day rate lock so we wouldn't have to pay for the three extra basis points. And it actually ultimately, LIBOR went down. So we ended up at 243, which was well below the other two bids. So it actually worked in the city's favor that we waited over the weekend. And the way we summarized this was, again, the three lowest rates, but those aren't always the most important factors to a city when considering a financing. So we included on the bottom section certain other contingencies like call features, default rate, reporting obligations, and certain other things that they might be subject to. And those are all summarized in the bottom. And again, BBVA came back with a very typical call feature of 10 years. They'd be able to be basically refunded in 10 years if the city decided to. They did have a default rate of 5% over the locked rate. Again, this is a pretty typical feature. And the reporting obligations they came back with were an annual audited financial statements due within 110 days after the end of the fiscal year. They wanted the coverage table as a separate item that was given to them every year just to make sure that we were within our covenant of the 1.2 times coverage. And just certain other information that they may request from time to time. Again, that is also a very typical ask. What we ended up doing, and what you'll see on the next couple pages, we went back to BBVA because it was a very attractive bid, and we wanted to see if we could work with them on some of the reporting obligations that they were asking. So turning on to the next page, again, we went back to BBVA. BBVA is actually very familiar with the city. They've been here, I believe, a couple of times. They were working and looking at the Lodge project a couple years ago. So they really wanted to work with the city. They knew it. They were familiar with it. They've been looking at the city's audits for a long time, which I believe also contributed to their competitive bid. They just really knew what they were looking at. Again, their rate was tagged to LIBOR, and I think I already went over a couple of those. So we did end up at 243 with BBVA. And then on the next page, so the terms that we kind of negotiated that with them with is the city already has a continuing disclosure obligation with some of their GO and I think redevelopment debt where the city needs to annually file to EMMA the continuing disclosure obligation. So what we asked them is instead of 210 days, if we could actually have it be 270 days so that it coincides with what the city is already doing, they said yes. And then instead of having this separate obligation of showing this coverage worksheet of 1.2 times, we just asked if we could have it be a separate table in the CAFR that the city already puts together, and they said that's fine as well. So in the end, the city doesn't need to have this extra obligation. It's something that the city already does, and BBVA is fine with that. They have access to Emma. They can find the information. So it all ended up, we agreed that that was the best way to go. And finally, BBVA did agree that they wouldn't require a trustee or paying agent. So not only did that save us some costs at the beginning when we processed the loan, there's also an annual fee of around $500 that would be additional savings to the city. And finally, on page 7, some of the details of the what we believe are going to be the final details of the debt service. Estimated annual debt service will be around $289,000. When we were here in August, it was around $317,000. So it's significant lowering of debt service every year. And overall, over the 20 years, that equates to about $600,000 in savings compared to when we were looking at this in August. Estimated cost of issuance is around $146,000, which is 3.27% of the estimated final par amount. And again, some of the reasons why the cost of issuance is a little bit lower is because it's a private placement. You save in a lot of the costs that go into a public offering, which is why we thought this would be the best option for the city.
Thank you, Renee. So the next steps would be, should the council decide to move forward, is to approve BBVA as the winning bidder. They should be giving final credit approval this Friday or the following Monday. And on February 18th, legal documents and a resolution of issuance will be brought back to the council for consideration. These are pretty standard legal documents. They've already been circulated. And then February the 19th, those documents get signed. There's actually a pre-closing on February 24th, which is usually the day before the closing of the 26th. But because they want all the documents 2 days prior, those will need to be sent back to bond council probably the 22nd, 23rd. And then on the 26th, the loan closes, and we want to close it on the 26th to avoid additional 3 basis points increase in the rate. So with that, we certainly would be glad to answer any questions. We feel very, as Renee said, when we were looking at this in August, we were running at a 3.2%, 3.4%. And so to have a 2.43% rate is really quite, we're very happy about that. And as Renee said, that's $28,000 a year over a 20-year period. It's over $500,000. So I think we're very fortunate in timing and working with staff. And anyway, with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
Very good. Thank you for that presentation, Mr. Pochet. So let's see if there's any questions for either Mr. Pochet or Ms. Bancher. So let's start to my left. Councilmember Lance.
No questions at this time. Thank you.
Councilmember Shaw.
I just had one or two. I mean, this is a very good interest rate. Could we, if we wanted to, prepay on this?
Yeah, and that's a very good question, and that's one of the call features. So typically on our general obligation bonds, it's pretty standard to have a 10-year call at par, so you have to wait 10 years. And so on this, you'll have to wait 10 years. So you'll have to wait the basically half the
After 10 years, then if we wanted to pay down.
That is correct. And some of the other ones, Ms. Shaw, some of the other ones had a shorter call provision, but then they had a higher interest rate.
Higher rate. Okay. And then I just wanted to confirm from our last meeting, we talked about this a lot, but I just wanted this kind of out there that by taking this loan, we're not making an additional, and this might be more for our staff, we're not making an additional water rate increase other than what was already agreed upon and scheduled for July.
That is correct. This is within the 6% increase that was approved by the council in 2017 and confirmed by the council back in November. That rate increase will go into effect on July 1, 2020.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
Any questions to my right? Councilmember Nichols.
No, she stole my question.
Okay. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes, just one question, and this is under the subject to. It was just something that kind of caught my attention. Credit approval will require information regarding the Lopez Dam.
So they're going to – the Lopez Dam, you've entered into that with other agencies. And so it actually took us a while to figure out how that worked. So we give them some preliminary information on that, and they just want to understand how the rates are set, because that gets set every few years. So they wanted to understand what their obligation is.
I see.
And so it's not issued on parity with these bonds, but you still have certain requirements that have to be met. So okay. That said, I don't know. You spoke with them. I'll let you.
Right. And after speaking with them, they just had a lot of questions. They just want to see where those obligations fall before the money trickles down to them for repayment. And it will go without saying, they wouldn't have submitted a bid if they weren't pretty confident that it would get through their credit committee. They just really want to be able to have the information for their files and kind of make sure everything's squared away with their understanding of how it works.
I see. Yeah. Thank you.
Very good. I don't think I had any other questions either, so thank you for that presentation. I appreciate you both being here and available.
It's our pleasure. There'll be another Albert. It'll be Albert Reyes here in a couple of weeks from QTAC, and he's going to walk you through the legal documents.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, thank you all.
Thank you very much. So with that, I don't have any speaker slips, but I will open this item up to the public, see if there's any member of the public that wants to speak. Seeing no one come forward, we'll come back for comments or consideration. We'll start to my left, Councilmember Shaw.
I approve of BBVA.
Very good. Councilmember Lance.
It seems very competitive, so I, too, am in support of titling them the winning bidder, as the slides show.
Very good. Any comments to my right, Councilmember
Nichols? I think we've got a project going ahead.
Very good. Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
I agree. I was really pleased when I heard the interest rate we received, and so on. So yeah. I'm ready to make a motion.
Very good. Then I will go ahead and let you do that.
Okay. Then I will do that. I'll make a motion that we approve BBVA as the winning bidder.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Mayor Pro Tem Bright.
Yes.
Councilmember Shaw.
Yes.
Councilmember Lance.
Yes.
Councilmember Nichols.
Yes.
And Mayor Lee.
Yes. So just a kind of a point of clarification, as that does pass, Mr. Pache mentioned there was going to be another item coming forward on the 18th. So is that also a regular business item, or would that be a consent item?
We could schedule it either way. It probably could be a consent item based on what my understanding is, unless the financing consultants would have a preference for putting it on the business calendar.
It's my understanding, and I'll have to check with Albert Reyes of QTAC, but things regarding financing, and actually it'll be through the financing authority, so they'll have a joint meeting that evening. My understanding is it should not be on the consent agenda, so he'll be here to answer any questions and just to discuss the documents with you.
Okay, so from a procedural standpoint, it sounds like it ends up being a regular business item for the purposes of BBVA and the underwriters and Mr. Reyes, not Mr. Pache. We'll see him that evening then.
Yep.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. So that does take us to where? A blocky computer again. So that does take us to our second public communications, thank you, where we do have another opportunity for members of the public to address the council for a period not to exceed 3 minutes on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of the council. Any member of the public want to speak under public communications, please come forward and state your name.
Good evening. I'm Catherine South, and I didn't speak up before about the issue with the compensation for the police officers, and I should have. But I was a little late, so now I'm here. I worked 20 years for the social services, and a lot of compensation issues came up during that time. And in the last few years I was there, when we would get our minimal raises, the new people who came in would get less and less benefits. And so I hope that when you consider this, I hope that their benefits package are not limited. I hope that they get decent compensation, reasonable, good compensation, because we depend so much on our police officers, and that their benefits are good and strong and at least reasonable, if not exceptional. So, thank you.
Very good. Thank you for those comments. Anyone else want to speak under public communications? Seeing no one else come forward, I will go ahead and close that to the public. And Ms. Sells, that you said much better, much more eloquently what I was trying to kind of relay towards our city manager as part of our budget process with regards to both compensation and benefits for all of our staff members. So I think we've heard, and we'll strive to do that as part of our budget process as well. Very good. So that takes us to council committee reports, where we will go and see if anybody has anything that they would like to share from council committees. Who wants to go first? We'll go Councilmember Nichols.
I'm excited I got to go to the South County Transit meeting was held last Wednesday, and we are still having problems meeting our fare box, we're just not having enough ridership, and we're not making our fare box quota. There is still still discussions about consolidating South County Transit with RTA. There is also some consideration of maybe doing a trolley or something similar to the Pismo trolley among Oceano, Grover, and Arroyo Grande, and or using smaller size buses to cover those routes, which would help pad our fare box problems. So those are all items still on the agenda for them, and we will be meeting probably a little bit more frequently than usual because there's getting a lot of pressure on them. So, and when that meeting was finished, I drove up to San Luis and had a very long but informative EDC meeting. They are designing a whole new website, making it more easily applied or reached by the public, reaching out to the general public on a broader scope. Because there just hasn't been the kind of business growth that we would like to see in the county. And they're working very diligently on that with personal outreach and the website and so on. Financially, things are doing all right with them. But they're still looking for new businesses and new entrepreneurs to come in and work with them. And that was it.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for that. Councilmember Bright, or Mayor Pro Tem Bright, sorry.
Thank you. I did not have any committee meetings. Thank you.
Very good. Councilmember Shaw.
I did not have any either.
Councilmember Lance.
Nor did I.
Very good. I only had one, and that was not a formal meeting, but it was a Monterey Bay Community Power Policy Board, kind of a meet and greet more for Guadalupe, Santa Maria, and ourselves. And so that was very good to get together with the city managers and the mayors of those cities, along with three representatives of staff. Some policy items coming forward at the March meeting that I'll be able to share once the governance committee comes through in February and recommends them. So more to follow on that. But it was good just to see their commitment to coming down and participating and trying to learn each of the cities that have now entered their jurisdictional area. One of the things they did mention was this past year they entered two new jurisdictions, San Luis Obispo and Morro Bay. And as of 2021, they will be adding 11 more. And so this is going to be a big year for them. So we obviously are one of those 11. So so more information to follow on that. And then my other committees are meeting in the next several weeks. So that takes us to the League of California Cities Policy Committee reports and other league matters. So I'll see if Miriam Shaw wants to
I had a meeting last week in Solvang with our league board for Channel County's division, and just now with the way elections always shake out, our Mayor Steve Martin went all the way from second VP to VP. So he's moving on up. And so we just kind of were setting the kind of tone for the year and things we wanted to accomplish. And we're thinking with our league dinners and meetings, we want to try to get back to, you know, not just hearing from our legislators, but trying to learn at these and share ideas. So we're really going to try to pursue some speakers in that vein. And with Mayor Martin's background in radio, and he also does a podcast, he was thinking it might be good if maybe each of us cities in the division did some sort of podcast. And then we could all listen to each other's at our convenience, and maybe pick a topic such as housing. And so we could find out, well, what's this city doing about housing? What are we doing? And try to learn, like, through different media and stuff like that. So a lot on the horizon with the new board. I tried to there is a box that exists for our division, but we can't quite put our finger on it, so we're trying to transition the box, and then it will officially be transitioned. But for now, it looks like our new board will be doing great, and I'm happily transitioning to the executive board, so.
Great. Thank you for that update. So I'll give a quick update on the Transportation, Communication, and Public Works Policy Committee. It looks like there's going to be a similar theme as there has been in the last several years. SB1 and how that's reported out and funding coming to cities and so forth, and then also small cell, whether it continues to work towards its preemption status at the federal level. But one of the presentations we had was from the head of the CTC, or the California Transportation Commission, from Caltrans, and what funding challenges are going to be there for cities and counties coming forward, and what's coming from the state. But the governor's budget does have obviously SB1, and has not specifically tried to tie that towards housing again. And so hopefully that will remain the same. But again, I'll continue to monitor that one, and then hop over into other policy commissions if there seems to be more weighty topics there instead of that. So with that, I'll turn it over to our city manager, Mr. Bronson, see if he wants to give an update on governance, transparency, and labor relations.
The mouthful acronym, GTLR. So just building on the comments earlier, we covered three different items. One, we heard an update on PERS. PERS is in a better financial position. They're at 70% funded compared to the 61% they were at a number of years ago. They're trying to get to ultimately 100% over many years, but they're moving in the right direction. They've got a great CEO who is helping to maximize the investment returns to minimize the impacts to employers and employees, though we're still part of this funding mix as well. So, but good news, moving in the right direction. We also heard a presentation about the census, which is coming really quickly. The postcards will be mailed out in mid-March, and the census will be open for completion beginning right after that. So we'll be scheduling some time at a future council meeting to discuss the process, and certainly encouraging everybody in our community to be counted. And lastly, we heard about district elections and some changes in state law regarding the public hearings and notifications for district elections, which will be coming our way here in a couple of years.
Very good. Thank you for that update. So next, that'll bring us into council communications. So we'll start to my left. Any council communications?
I have one. Okay. I was approached by an organization that I've worked with and talked to before. They're called Bend the Arc. They're a social justice group, a Jewish action group, and they are trying to get a resolution passed countywide, hopefully from the Board of Supervisors on down. The resolution is County of San Luis Obispo, draft resolution condemning all forms of hatred and bigotry. And they're hoping to get councils and everybody on board, especially given some of the events that have happened recently. Like, let's all just come on in and kind of reaffirm. We actually did in Grover Beach in 2017 a Declaration of Human Rights that dealt with immigration and bigotry and racism and just just that in Grover Beach, everyone is safe. So it may be timely to look at it again if we want to just look at this in maybe with some other item that it goes with. Mm-hmm.
So is there questions of Miriam, or is there a consensus to perhaps put this either on the agenda or perhaps have it included in the civility and code update that we're going to have that Mr. Hale is bringing forward? I don't know if that's an appropriate connection or if that's a possible connection between the two items. Mr. City Manager,
we can incorporate it as part of the conversation.
Okay.
With the council and determine if the decorum policy is the best place to incorporate it or have a standalone resolution similar to the Declaration of Human Rights that Councilmember Shaw referenced.
Okay, very good. And do we have a potential time frame for when that item's going to come back to the council?
I believe we had tentatively scheduled the next meeting, February 18th, for that to come back.
Okay, gotcha. So I guess from that perspective, if from the timing standpoint, and let's see if the council concurs, if this addition of the review of this resolution pushes that to the meeting after that, are we okay with that?
So. Yeah, I think we should do it as time provides.
Time provides.
No one wants. Well, I don't want a really late meeting. Right. So.
Okay. Very good. Any council communications to my right?
None.
Okay, very good. Then I'll just share one or two items that I did have an opportunity to attend the Mid-State Fair annual dinner, where I was able to present the proclamation that we passed recently for their 75th anniversary, and did just say a couple words about the support that those of us below the grade give to the fair, and they were appreciative of that as well. So, I'm sure I had a couple of other council communications, but I think there's opportunities in the future to bring back items for us to move forward. And so that'll take us to our city manager's reports and comments.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Just a few items to add to the discussion. One is with regards to housing. As the council is probably aware, there was a bill that failed last week in the state of Senate called SB 50 regarding housing production. There's a flurry of activity, a flurry of advocacy on both sides, and ultimately it appears that there will be some bill coming forward over the course of this session that the various housing parties will be working on, both houses of the legislature and the governor's office. The League Board will be very involved in that process. We'll see what emerges from that conversation and what kind of housing production bill is brought forward as part of the 2020 session. So more information to come on that front. Regardless, we are doing a lot on our end. We have the housing element update underway. We have an ADU ordinance update coming to the council this spring, and we have other work that's in progress. Along those lines, on February 12th, a week from this Wednesday, we have a public workshop on our housing element update. It'll be 6 p.m. at Ramona Center with food and childcare provided to make it easier for everybody in the community to come join us. We're looking to get feedback on housing needs and how the housing element to the general plan can be a tool to help address those needs. Speaking of workshops, the following Wednesday, we have the Ramona Park Master Plan workshop scheduled for the 19th, also at 6 p.m. at Ramona Center, also with food and child care provided. We're looking for feedback on making our jewel of a park in the center of our city even better going forward. So we encourage people to come out and add their voice to the process. And lastly, our street repair efforts are continuing to be underway. They never really stop, but they're just shifting from one project to another. Newport Avenue is just about completed. We're doing some final work on striping, final work on the pathways, and the green bike lanes will be installed beginning tomorrow at the intersections to help make it easier for bikes and cars to see each other around those intersections. And South 16th Street, our current project underway, just started excavation today. So between Grand Avenue and Mentone Avenue, you'll see a lot of trucks and excavators and asphalt grinders and watering vehicles. It's all for a good cause, helping to improve that very important thoroughfare on our south side of the city.
Very good. Thank you for that update. And I have had a number of comments that people have shared with me that they're starting to see the vision of Newport, and with the striping coming down, that they can understand how it's being laid out. And so I'm looking forward to the green bike striping to kind of complete that vision as well. So with that, I'll turn it over to the city attorney for his reports and comments.
None this evening, Council.
Very good. Then if you would, go ahead and announce our closed session, please.
I'd be happy to do that. We have a conference this evening with legal counsel for existing litigation. This is in regards to paragraph 1 of subdivision D of section 54956.9 of the government code. This is in regards to an update that we mentioned that we would be bringing to you in closed session related to the Santa Maria Water Conservation District versus City of Santa Maria. This is a litigation that started about 1997 and has primarily been related to the adjudication or the use of groundwater in the Napomo Basin, Mesa management area. So we'll be convening in that to bring you up, give you an update on that.
Very good. So I will go ahead and open this up to the public, see if there's any member that wants to come forward and speak on closed session. Seeing no members of the public here, we'll go ahead and close it. And before I do recess us to closed session, I did just want to, after the fact, appreciate both Debbie Guerrera and Joseph Holmes, our two Parks and Rec commissioners that were in the audience this evening. So I want to thank them for attending. And with that, we will recess into closed session.